I'm joined by Lisa Randall. She's the HIV Prevention Program Manager for the Division of Health, Wellness, and Disease Control at the Michigan Department of Community Health. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Good afternoon.
So we hear more about HPV, this genital warts virus, and other sexually transmitted diseases than AIDS nowadays. Have transmission rates for HIV been going down?
Fortunately, in the United States, yes, they have been going down. That doesn't mean that there isn't still an issue and a concern and a problem, but we have made some tremendous progress.
In terms of the numbers in Michigan and in the Lansing area, do we know how many people have HIV and how many people are infected with it each year?
Sure. We estimate from the State Health Department that there are roughly 19,500 individuals living with HIV in the state of Michigan. And Ingham County in Lansing would be the center of that. There are roughly 590 individuals that we think are living with HIV. The caveat to that is roughly a quarter of those individuals don't know that they're infected currently.
So they have no idea. And how many people are typically then infected annually? Do we have a sense of that number?
In Michigan, it's roughly 750 individuals each year.
In most of those cases, is it that people that are infecting them are not aware that they themselves have HIV?
That's correct. Once individuals learn that they are HIV infected, a couple of things happen. One, we have tremendously good research which indicates to us that once individuals learn about their HIV status, they take precautions to prevent infecting other individuals. And the other, I think, important thing to highlight is we have incredibly effective medications today. And the sooner that an individual can get on medications, more quickly they can drive down their viral load, which renders them much less infectious. So testing to learn your HIV status in order to, one, protect your partners, but also to take advantage of medication is tremendously important.
And when you look at being infected through sexual activity versus intravenous drug use or blood transfusions, what is the most common way to be infected with HIV?
The most common way currently in Michigan, in this country, is through sexual transmission. We have made great strides over the 30 years of the epidemic in driving down new infections among intravenous drug users through syringe access programs, cleaning of needles and works, and through education with individuals who are substance users. In Michigan and in the United States, our epidemic is very much sexually driven, and importantly, it's among men who have sex with men. Those are the individuals, that is the population that is most disproportionately impacted by HIV.
Now, HIV got initial attention in the homosexual community, but it was then made clear that it is also a disease that can affect heterosexuals. So in terms of transmission, though, in Michigan, is it rare then for that to occur between a man and a woman here?
I wouldn't say that it's rare. About half of the cases in this state are between men. They are attributed to men who have sex with men.
And the other, now, in terms of gender, are women more likely potentially to get AIDS, let's say if it's in a heterosexual situation, from a man versus a man getting AIDS from a woman in a sexual situation?
In terms of transmissibility, it is more efficient for a woman to become infected than for a woman to infect a man.
Now, I guess initially, of course, AIDS was a deadly virus. People really didn't know what to do about it. As you said, now there is all kinds of medication to address it. Is it no longer a deadly virus or disease?
Well, it absolutely is a deadly virus or disease if untreated. The point is that we do have those tremendously effective medications, but those medications are a lifelong commitment, and they are not without side effects themselves. They are tremendously expensive as well, and so we shouldn't become complacent because there are medications, because it still is a very devastating disease.
Well, those are two major factors. Then, is that the situation? Then, many people that do have HIV or AIDS, they cannot afford it, or the side effects are too powerful, and they just don't want to take the medication.
Absolutely not. There are so many choices now. We're really very fortunate that we have so many choices now that if individuals are not able to tolerate medications, that there are many other ways that they can try different combinations. And so I say that they are not without impact, there are many different choices now. We didn't have that 10 years ago or 15 years ago. We have that now.
I'm talking to Lisa Randall. She's the HIV Prevention Program Manager at the Division of Health, Wellness, and Disease Control at the Michigan Department of Community Health. So, Lisa, initially there were all kinds of misconceptions about how HIV is transmitted, certainly in the early years of the virus being discovered. What is the bottom line of how a person can or cannot be infected with HIV?
Well, the bottom line is that it is transmissible through unprotected sex with an infected individual. It is transmissible through sharing on needles or other works for substance use that have not been cleaned between individuals. And it is still perinatally transmitted between mother and child. Fortunately, because of the new treatments that we have available, that is exceedingly rare. And I do want to make the point, you asked the question earlier, which I neglected to answer clearly, is while the medications are expensive, no one in this state should be without those medications. And if individuals don't have insurance, we have public support for those programs. We run a very large program funded through the federal government, the Ryan White Treatment Act, that provides support for individuals who can't afford medication so that no one in the state has to be without.
Magic Johnson's revelation that he had HIV was a turning point in how the country viewed HIV and AIDS, although many have marveled at how he appears to have remained perfectly healthy since. I mean, is that especially uncommon?
It is not especially uncommon. He was very fortunate because he was able to access effective treatment early on. And he maintains that, his health, through effective treatment and management of his disease. So it's not at all uncommon.
In terms of the distinction between HIV and AIDS, what is that?
Well, it's an epidemiologic distinction, and it relates to the amount of virus and the relative clinical expression of the disease. So at the very basic level, it's how sick somebody is. And fortunately, now 30 years into the epidemic, with the treatments that we have, people don't progress from HIV infection to AIDS as quickly as they did. People are living longer and longer with HIV without any symptoms or any sort of side effects.
I see. Now, is that what we're looking at? Then there could very well now be many situations where HIV never does develop into AIDS?
There are individuals that have not yet, after 20 or 30 years, progressed to the symptoms that we used to see 30 years ago that were so severe.
Finally, you know, we're hearing a lot about this HPV vaccine. Although it appears that an HIV vaccine was never developed, is that something that is still being pursued?
Absolutely. I think that particularly through the National Institutes of Health, I think they are still very aggressively pursuing a vaccine. They're also pursuing other biomedical means of controlling this disease, including things like microbicides.
One last thing. It is World AIDS Day. You said within the U.S. we've kind of gotten a grip on this disease. In terms of worldwide, is it still a major concern? I know in Africa it remains a major factor, but how much of an issue is it for the global community still?
Well, I don't want to mislead anybody that we've, you know, quote, gotten a grip on it here. We have resources that the rest of the world doesn't have here, and I don't want to lead anyone into a false sense of complacency. We still do have new infections here in Michigan. People still are becoming ill with this. But worldwide, we're talking about 33 million people who have HIV. And 25 million people have died over the last two decades. And every 9.5 minutes in this country, somebody is newly infected with HIV. So the epidemic isn't over for us. We're just much more fortunate because we have access to effective treatments, we have access and have implemented effective prevention programs, and so we've gotten ahead of it in that way, but by no means is this epidemic over.
And it is World AIDS Day, a day to remember that, as you're saying, AIDS is still a major factor and needs to be on the minds of everybody when it comes to their health. Lisa Randall, HIV Prevention Program Manager at the Division of Health, Wellness, and Disease Control at the Michigan Department of Community Health. Lisa, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much.